100 years ago, when I was a caddy, there was a a guy came along, rather gruff guy. It was my turn, so he said, "Look, here's the deal. I like it quiet. I don't like a lot of talking. Keep your suggestions to yourself." Fine. So he did pretty well, but on the fifth hole, a 3-wood into the rough. And as we approached the ball, I heard him kind of talking to himself. He says, "If I can just lift that ball with an iron iron through that tree, it'll land close to the green and I'll be fine. It's going to be tight. It's going to be rough." He did it. He hit a perfect shot, but it landed about 10 feet from the green, from the cup. It was fantastic. So he said, "What do you think of that?" And I didn't know what to say. I kind of mumbled, and he said, "Speak up." And I said, "Well, I hate to tell you, my friend, but that wasn't your ball." So as we close the Advent season and move into this continuation of our season of joy and hope and love and peace, there's a great expectation at that time, in the time of Jesus and Micah. There was a great expectation all over the Roman Empire that there would be a Christos, and that's the Greek word for a anointed one who would come and get rid of the Roman dominance and restore peace and restore greatness to Palestine. You kind of pick that up in Micah, where you hear him pointing out that a Jewish Christos, Jesus, the Messiah, would come. And his coming would be peace, as Micah says at the end of his reading, "I am peace." And we sure need peace today, I tell you. So this is the beginning of a radical new chapter in salvation history. And in Luke's gospel, unlike the other three gospels, women play a major role in what's going on. And today, two women are at the very core, the very center of the flow of history. Primarily, this is a story of relationships. First, Micah's relationship with God that helped him see in the future what God's plan would be. And then there's that relationship with Mary and Elizabeth as partners in faith. Mary would have traveled either on foot or even on an animal to meet Elizabeth. And you can just imagine and there would be that would be a surprise because Elizabeth or either Mary would not have she couldn't twixt her or send any kind of messages that without a cell phone, she just have to, do the best she could. And you might say that John the Baptist in Elizabeth's womb was the first one to recognize Jesus. But both Mary and Elizabeth were humble people who gave up everything for their relationship with God. John would give up everything to announce Jesus coming into his new ministry. And it begs the question during this season, what are we willing to empty ourselves out to live in the presence of Jesus and to welcome Jesus into our presence? I think that it's the focus of Advent to empty ourselves out of everything that stands in the way of our loving relationship with Jesus and his mother. and each other. How about that? But the relationships require a lot of work, a lot of attention to stay alive. Dave and I worked together. He worked for me. He worked with me in a firm at Two Rivers. Yeah, there is a place like that, Two Rivers. Yeah. And we were good friends. We were best friends. We'd go out together with our wives, and we'd visit each other, and it was a good relationship. I was instrumental in getting him a good position in a place in a firm in Des Moines. which he later purchased. We talked on the phone. We, you know, we did letters and that kind of thing. We'd even go out and visit him every so often. He was great at grilling steaks. Wow. But then we got both distracted with, you know, the busyness of life, and communications dwindled, and that really happens. Thing just kind of, you know, you lose track of each other. And then one day I got a phone call from his wife that Dave had a massive heart attack at the gym and died. And I just realized, you know, how fragile relationships are and what can happen to a relationship that isn't continually awakened. And that can happen too easily to any relationship, especially our relationship with God. So it's important for us to let go, let everything that hinders us, push it aside so that we can always be aware of our relationship with God and our plans to trust the Holy Spirit. Mary and Elizabeth apparently had an excellent relationship with God. And as a result, they were very open to the Holy Spirit's activity and their lives. And because of that, young Mary was able to get beyond her fear and get beyond her doubt and trust in God and then give that humble yes, yes. And so we all know what it's been like these last few days in preparation of this season. But still, if we're going to celebrate, you know, Mary's humble yes and the rebirth of Jesus in our lives and in our hearts, it's critical that we let go of a lot of things in our life and just carve out some precious time to really be aware of what is happening. Then we can say our humble yes to Jesus' presence, and then to respond to the Holy Spirit in our lives as Mary did in her Magnificat. And through this Christmas season, we might utter the words that Mary did in the Magnificat. My soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God my Savior. And so may the blessed spirit of the holy season be present to all of our relationships and bring peace in our world. Amen.